Hello everyone and welcome to episode 15 of the Academica Vertex podcast. I'm your host Aditya and I have my co-host and Chris alongside me for this episode. And game week 10 so far for us kind of didn't go along the plan for most of us, with, you know, Arsenal managing to keep a clean sheet, surprisingly, with Leicester also having a lot of chances, but it was Aaron Ramsdale's day. Burnley beating Brentford, quite a surprise we would say. Liverpool getting a point against Brighton. City losing to Palace. Chelsea winning 3-0 against Newcastle at St. Reece James Park, with Reece James scoring a brace. Southampton winning 1-0. Those who bench Livramento might be kind of disappointed. United cruising against Spurs. And we got a news that Nuno Espirito Santos has been sacked by Tottenham. So we don't know who's going to replace him at the moment, Antonio Conte. Leeds winning 2-1 against Norwich, thanks to Rafinha's goal and Rodrigo's goal. And thank God Rafinha managed to return this week. Kind of helped most of us who are in the low scoring zone of 30s to 40s. And West Ham winning 4-1 against Villa. And Mikel Antonio didn't manage to score a goal, but it was Benrahma got an assist. Fornals scored a goal. Declan Rice also scored one. And we still have one game left to play. That's Wolves against Everton. We are recording it on a Monday. Nevertheless, intro has been too long with most of the things recapped so far. What happened in game week 10? I'm going to Chris. So how was your game week, Chris?
Definitely hasn't gone to plan this game week. I'm all out at 39 points, which is definitely not what I want, like a good score for me. But yeah, I'm not going to panic right now. I think my team's in a good place. It's pretty well set up, and you know, just, I think variants will come my way soon, so yeah, I'm not really panicking over anything right now. Yeah, I mean, had the Foden transfer, who I brought in for guess who, Gallagher, who had an assist and a goal, which is a bit annoying. I would have benched him, I think, anyway, but it's quite annoying when you transfer a player who does so well. But then again, I think it was the right call moving forward, and yeah, I'm not gonna stick to the outcome and, you know, complain about it. I think it's the right move in the long term. So yeah, I'm just gonna keep being patient, you know, aim for the best.
Well, this game week for me didn't turn out that bad. I think if I say my score, people might be a bit surprised, saying like, why is he saying it's not that bad enough? It's good. I scored 53 points, fortunate enough, because of Reece James. 21 points, and Rafinha, Havertz and Dados kind of chipped in here and there, and I still have Hwang-Hui Chan to play today, but my bench has Foster, Livramento, Bukayo Saka and Ben White, but I'm fortunate enough to have Livramento coming on for Mbeumo. I got away, I would say, probably, so I might end up close to 60 points this week, which is not bad considering how game week 9 was so horrific for most of us. So again, I mean, most of us might have seen our benches outscoring kind of our few of our players in the starting 11, which is very difficult for us to predict in hindsight, right? Who's going to score when and all. And benching is always a mess, and you never know when such things are going to happen. But next time, Chris, if you're going to transfer somebody out, let me know so that I'll start that play if I have him. So
I'm going to do a spread. Who am I planning to get out so people can get them? You know, it's almost guaranteed points.
Yeah, so who are you going to transfer out this week? Any early news for us?
I'm actually rolling, so yeah.
Oh no. Oh god. I have 2 free transfers, so I'm mostly going to use them. So I'm not sure where I'm going to use them. I was probably thinking of downgrading somebody somewhere. I don't know, maybe downgrade one of Saka to somebody less so that I can, you know, get those funds elsewhere and move on. But the biggest talking point for us here is that Spurs have sacked Nuno Espirito Santo, and as of now it is rumored that Antonio Conte is probably going to take the job. He's the leading front runner, but we know in the summer we were hearing news quite similar to this, and it panned out this way, and they had to go and get Nuno. But let's see what happens. You know, this is an interesting debate for us here at this point, because I think Spurs' run of games kind of improves over the next week or so, because they play Everton and then their fixtures are great. But let's see what's going to happen. And I think this kind of will again get the debate of Kane and Son. It depends on who they're going to appoint now, which is a wait and watch at this point. So that is something we need to take a note at. And then another thing is Man City not keeping clean sheets is getting a bit annoyed, right? Because most of us on our wildcard went with a City and a Chelsea defender rather than doubling Chelsea defenders at that point with Chilwell or James or Rudiger, which is kind of a bit annoying, but you can't predict things, right? And I think the red card kind of ruined the game, I would say, because City was still in the game with 1-0 down. But with Laporte getting sent off is where I think it got a bit difficult playing 10 men, right?
Yeah, I think especially for like people who got in Foden and stuff, I think City could have easily scored if the red card wasn't, if that hadn't taken place. So I think a bit unlucky there for me as well, who I got Foden in. He was a good transfer. He always was the right pick. I think it was the right time to get him in. But yeah, Palace are going to be a really good side this year, and unexpectedly, to be honest. And I think we should, also take them into consideration when I think they've got a nice fixture run, but I think we should discuss Tottenham first, since it's the hot topic of the day. I definitely think that if Conte comes, I'd be more interested. I think he is levels above Nuno. With all due respect, I think Conte is just one of the best in the world. And he should help that Spurs side become way better. But, I think we shouldn't, jump into early conclusions. I mean, we still need to wait for it to happen and maybe see if he comes before the Everton game. I would really like to see how they perform, how they line up in that particular game. And I think there's the international break later on, so that's going to give us time to really think about it. But yeah, from what from what I saw until now from Spurs, I'm definitely not convinced. I'm quite hesitant actually to spend, 10 million for Son and then like 12 million for Kane for these good fixtures, because I just think as a team, and Kane especially, he's showing no signs of like ambition in that team. He's not hungry as he used to be like last seasons. I just believe he's just way less motivated right now, which it makes me think that he's definitely not a good pick as things stand. But yes, I think Son will be the obvious choice if they seem to start playing better. He's the one like running behind. He seems more dangerous, more lively, and I think his ability to finish from like tougher XG, like harder angles and stuff, I think that makes him a much reliable asset that, much more reliable asset than many others at that similar price point. So yeah, I think I'm probably going to aim for Son, also for captaincy purposes. I think it will be a nice opportunity to drift away from Salah and, try to climb up the ranks a bit. So what do you think? Are you in the same boat?
I mean, one of the reasons why I transferred out Lukaku for Ivan Toney, unfortunately Lukaku got injured, and so I still have it like about 4.9 in the bank. So if my plan at that point, once you heard that Lukaku was out, I was probably looking at Saka to Son, since I have enough funds to do that. That was what I was thinking. So, but again, right now things have changed in 2 weeks, right? Nuno has left the club. We don't know who's going to come in. Conte at the moment, but I really don't know until we have concrete news, because things change drastically in 5-10 minutes. We have somebody else's name coming up as a front runner here and there. So at the moment we are assuming it's Conte, but again, the fixtures, right, for Spurs, it's so good, right, from game week 12, and with players with such capability and the way they play, right? They play Leeds, Burnley, Brentford, Norwich, Brighton and Leicester, right? These run of games are games wherein players like Kane and Son can score. So again, I would probably say wait and watch is what we'll have to see. We also have an international break right after game week 11. So we'll probably get better information, whoever takes in, who takes the job. And we'll have a fair idea who's going to start. So I think with Conte managing Chelsea previously in the Premier League, we have a kind of a fair knowledge saying that he generally prefers playing a back three. So, and I think it's either 3-5-2 or a 3-4-3, right, Chris? That's what he kind of played, right? He prefers having those back three with two excellent fullbacks and 3-5-2. Yeah, 3-5-2. So with Kane and Son, the other thing and other names that people are putting out is obviously the fullbacks playing in such an advanced role. That's either Reguilon, Ben Davies, Emerson or Matt Doherty. We don't know what's going to be. It's probably Reguilon or Emerson is what I think is going to happen basically if Conte comes. That's a if, not sure of things. So even those names, and they could be probably good options on that run, because even with City not keeping those clean sheets and for that price, it's kind of getting a bit annoying, right? I got Ruben Dias for 6.2 and he dropped in price and he's 6.1. I don't know what to say at this point. I mean, things just move around so quickly from here. People just make those moves if they don't work out, and it's getting a bit difficult, and this season has been testing all of our patience. Okay, we were talking about Son and Kane. Good options, but let's see what happens is what I would say. And we have the international break, so we'll get a proper bunch of information at that point.
Yeah, I definitely want to... I'm definitely interested, actually, you know, in them. But I'm just not 100% sold on them. So I think waiting is really, really going to be beneficial for us as managers. And I think for now, I'm Team Son. Definitely not on the double up, to be honest. I need to see something quite impressive to actually be convinced. But, you know, I think for someone who still has a premium forward in Vardy, like me, I think maybe sticking to that premium forward bracket will be good. So I wouldn't advise selling Vardy, especially before Leeds. But yeah, I think it would be nice to have easy access to another premium forward. I think there's some nice value there. Aubameyang too. He's been going under the radar again. Arsenal have Watford, Liverpool, and then Newcastle, which are definitely not bad fixtures. I think definitely in the two home games against Watford and Newcastle, he could definitely be like a captain option too. Outside of the box thinking there. You know, I think Arsenal have been performing well, so I think I should really consider them moving forward. And they've been actually the difference makers for many people in many weeks. I think people with Ramsdale and Smith-Rowe have been doing really well in the past few weeks. So you should really actually think of, because I think every season, everyone is writing off Arsenal players, and they always come good value, I think. And they always manage to get some points, and usually no one has them. So that's all. I think that's a really a place when you should try to pay a bit more attention in the near future.
I mean, the point about Arsenal you make is correct, but the problem is sometimes, you know, that the thinking, right, for us is a bit not perfect, I would say, because with Arsenal players offensively also not returning that consistently with, I mean, Smith Rowe has managed to do well over the last 4-5 weeks, managing to get a return very well in the specified run. But I think sometimes we are not able to jump and get the assets on time. It's either we get them too early and they blank and we ship them out and they start getting, or we get them in and they start blanking. That is why that has caused problems for managers getting them this time. And that's been happening maybe over the last few seasons. That's why I think we are kind of struggling, right? I went solely Saka over Smith Rowe because I consider Saka a much more explosive player for Arsenal whenever he has played. And even the last season, he played very well. And I thought personally that he would be the one kind of more favored to play consistently and has his position nailed and sorted. But with Smith Rowe also, you know, providing such a great value for that particular price range of 5.6, I think...
Steal.
Yeah, that's a steal for a fifth midfielder. We have been saying this for a week, right? It's either Saka or Smith Rowe, but some of us have picked Saka, not getting the returns up to what our expectations are. But I think for 5.6, basically, I think you only had Gray, Townsend and Gallagher for that particular range of 5.7, 5.8, who have been getting you those points in a consistent manner. Not every week, but getting you those loads of points maybe in 2-3 weeks or so. So I think those who went with Saka, we kind of missed the bus. But other than that, with Arsenal, I think Arsenal's defense, we have always been saying it. They are defensively, they have improved. So they have been value. We did speak a few weeks back, right? Doubling up on maybe Tomiyasu, White, Ramsdale would be good options. And those who did, I think, kind of are paying the benefits. Going with Ramsdale, I would say, rather than a defender, because he's getting you those save points also, and he's been excellent for Arsenal over the last few weeks since Leno has been benched. So, as you said, Arsenal, next round of games, I think Smith Rowe would be probably, at this point, the best option, right? As a fifth midfielder for 5.6, you can't expect a lot, but in good games, you can expect some decent returns considering his form. So, I think you agree. So, we'll end the Arsenal debate. I want to quickly jump to Manchester United, and because... I mean, the last episode when we spoke, I was on a very, not sort of a negative tone, but I always said that it's probably time for Solskjaer to go and all. That was solely because of the performances. I am not going to say anything else at this point, because the club and the hierarchy have probably made a decision. And even I said very clearly, they might give him time for the next 3 weeks and then decide. They've kind of gone with the same thinking, but they are probably not convinced with replacing him with somebody else like a Conte or anybody else who's around for the job. They don't want somebody else to replace him, and they're probably happy backing Solskjaer. And it kind of worked against Spurs, because defensively, United was solid. They kept a clean sheet after a long time, after conceding, you know, stupid goals over the last few weeks. I think since, what, game week 3, this is the first time Manchester United managed to keep a clean sheet. That's from 3, and they kept it in 10. So that's been painful, those who own Luke Shaw, right, around that part of just getting 1-2 pointers. But with Rafael Varane back, playing a back three, McTominay, Fred, being very solid defensively, solid enough, I think kind of helped the defense and enabled the attack to play well. But the another debate is whether people will like to consider getting Ronaldo back, those who shipped him out on the wild card, you know, basically activating the wild card. That is something, a very tough question for us to answer, right, Chris? What do you think about this? Maybe for us, instead of going and getting a Son or a Kane, maybe switching back to Ronaldo, because the run of fixtures from game week 15 onwards is great, although we still have time. But United do play Watford in game week 12, which is, if United play well against Atalanta tomorrow and they play well against City, then the momentum will build up. So we have to wait and watch for those two games. But Ronaldo, Rashford, what do you think of these options now?
To be honest, I think Ronaldo is on the radar again. Definitely, he was really good against Tottenham. I watched the game. He took the first goal really well. It was a world-class finish again. And if you saw the offside goal he scored, tremendous power on that shot. It was an amazing finish. If it wasn't offside, it would have been like hell of a goal. And I think he has that elite finisher. Obviously, he's one of the best players of all time. So his finishing ability is just another level. So I think he's definitely someone we should count. I think he's a much better option than Kane. He plays in a much better team. And, you know, I think the price is similar too. Not sure how is Kane, like 12.1. Ronaldo's 12.4, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're really close in price. And I just don't think, 12.4, 12.1. I don't think it's even a debate at this point. I think Ronaldo should be ahead of Kane as of now as an option. And I think looking in the very long run, Ronaldo could be a captain option for a really, really long time from game week 15 onwards. Even game week 12, I think it's United against Watford, who are leaky. They're leaking a lot of goals. So they're letting the goals. So I think it's definitely a captainable option. So I'm actually really, really thinking of moving Vardy to Ronaldo by game week 12 maybe, and have him as a captain option. And that might mean that I cannot get Son, but to be honest, I can get Son too if I do some, I need to, do some twinkling in the team, but I think it would be an option. I think this is where it gets exciting, because everyone will try to differentiate a bit more from the template. And I think that's where variants will really kick in, and, you know, with the captaincies and, you know, the variety. Because now we're just captaining Salah. He's in insane form again. And, you know, everyone's got really similar teams. I think it's one or two players making a difference. right now with, you know, huge bowls like Reece James. Last week it was Captain Salah. If you're in Captain Salah, you were in the mud like we were. So I think it's those differences that are going to start being seen a lot more. Like, you know, I think five or six players will start performing, and then you might have three of them or two of them or none of them. So I think that's where it's going to be a bit more interesting and not really dependent on like mega holes from, you know, one or two assets, which I think it's something that we can, we're going to see in the long run.
I mean, you're spot on saying the fact that it's either Son or Kane or Ronaldo. And that's where I think in game week 12, where the fixtures for Spurs also turn and United play Watford. So that's where we'll probably see a bit different decisions made by managers. So we'll have to see. But I'm really, really tempted by Marcus Rashford. Although he's come off the bench for the last game, and he played against Liverpool, but just got 2 points. But again, against Leicester, he came off the bench and he managed to score a goal. So I'm really, really tempted by Marcus Rashford. But at this point, I don't know what system we are going to play, because we were conceding goals a lot. Ole switched to a back three to ensure that the defense gets a bit strong and starts keeping clean sheets and building this confidence and momentum. But at one point, or even against Man City, I feel Rashford might play alongside Ronaldo, probably in the same formation. I don't think we might play a back four. We'll have to see what United play tomorrow against Atlanta, if there's going to be a back three or a back four. I think it's going to be a back three again. Even against City, I think so. I'm not really sure. But I think Rashford for 9.4 is great, because do we have any updates on when Lukaku is back fit? Lukaku and Werner, maybe after the international break? I think so, right?
After the break.
Sure. So most of us, those who have Havertz, this is the last game week where we can have Havertz, and then he's off. So then probably moving from Havertz to somebody like Rashford, if he nails his spot for 9.4, I think is going to be great. That's what I feel. If Rashford is given the signal to start, I think that has to happen at some point. I'm not really that confident with Jadon Sancho, although he's priced 8.9 and Rashford is 9.4. I'm not sure about Sancho, but I'm more confident on Rashford, because after the surgery, he's been great. He's been training well. He's been looking sharp. So I think at 9.4, Rashford might be a great deal if he starts against City. We'll have to see the next two games, how they play. I think that Havertz to... we're going to see a lot of Havertz to Son or Havertz to Rashford, and people moving around with their funds here and there. That's what I honestly think is going to happen during the international break. So I think we'll close the Man United debate. Do you want to add anything else?
Yeah, I actually think Rashford, Ledgerizer is backing him a lot. So, you know, he's probably going to come good, I think. He is like usually spot on with those picks. But yeah, I've read that he's a thread about him. And I think I do agree that he's quite high in the pecking order. I think when he's fully, fully fit, I think he's going to be starting most games. And he's like, his price point is like close to premium, but not premium. And I think that's exactly what he is. But he's definitely capable of delivering big time hauls. So yeah, I would definitely monitor him closely. And then he might even be better value than Ronaldo if we think that none of them have pens. And, you know, I think Ronaldo might be playing in a more false nine-ish role. Then Rashford will be running in behind, sort of like Son. So he could easily be, better value at 9.5 and below.
Yeah, I mean, we are finally getting a player who is somewhere below the 10 million mark, which people can have as a midfielder next to Mo Salah after that price range order, who we can afford to have in our team. So that is Rashford. Let's see what happens. It's a very tempting move for me. We'll see what happens in the next 2 weeks. Edinson Cavani is somebody else I want to speak very quickly on. And he's not nailed, is what I feel. He's just played because to give the team more confidence. Somebody who's sharp enough makes those movements, who's very clinical, and which he did against Spurs. So, considering his performances last season, I think it's a bit harsh, but he's more of a rotation player for United. So I think it's Rashford who's probably going to definitely slot there. but we will be seeing rotations there with Cavani and Rashford and Sancho. I don't know what exactly you're going to play. I feel eventually Solskjaer is going to switch to a back four from a back three. So that's going to happen at some point. And then we'll probably see Rashford, Ronaldo and Sancho. That's going to happen at one point. Even Mason Greenwood, I think, is getting a bunch of days of rest after starting the season very well. So I think we'll end the United debate. So it's Ronaldo, Rashford, game week 12. Let's see what happens, because that's where the fixtures for Spurs and it also turn. The next point is Mikel Antonio. And we have to address the elephant in the room. What do we do now? Because we did discuss him about Antonio specifically, I think in game week 7 or 8, somewhere around the time. And he managed to return against Spurs, but he blanked against Villa when West Ham managed to score 4 goals. Although the next run of games, right, is Liverpool, Wolves, City, Brighton, Chelsea, right? Liverpool defensively solid, just for a debate, right? Liverpool solid, but Brighton managed to score twice. Wolves, we'll have to see how they play, but not that impressive. City lost to Palace, surprising, but they are City, they have to wake up. Brighton have been great this season, Chelsea defensively are solid. This is still game week 15. What do we do now? Antonio, in his prime, any day can score against anyone, but what do we do now? Do we keep him or...
Let's be honest here. The fact that he didn't do anything last night was definitely not something to be worried about, in my opinion. They scored 4 goals and it's odd, but it happened, and it can happen. I mean, Havertz didn't do anything in the 7.
Yeah, I was just about to get that Havertz in. Good you said that.
So, I don't think he's a worry for me right now. Definitely have other fires to put out, more important, like, problems. He's still there with the stats. I think he pre-assisted the assister twice, and he wasn't lucky not to have anything. So, I'm not worried about him. Liverpool are shaky. To be honest, I don't really trust them defensively. I think I'm definitely not wasting a transfer. I'll probably want to get him back when the fixtures turn. And the value you've built up on him, I bought him at 7.5 personally. So I'm like close to getting 0.4 million value out of him. So I'm not really interested in selling him unless he gets injured. I won't be touching him. He'll stay there until his hamstrings are gone, which I hope doesn't happen, obviously. But yeah, I don't think he's someone I want to, move around. I think he's one of the few season keepers for me, especially with the value he holds in my team. I just don't see a reason why I should, get him out. He's got Wolves in game week 12 and then again Brighton in 14. And he can even score against Liverpool and City, so I wouldn't rush to get him out. If you don't have any other fires, then maybe think about it. But I just don't think it's as easy for me to, with all that value. And when I know I'll want him back soon. Or you just pray he gets injured and you don't want him back in the near future. But I just don't want to, mess around with it.
I have Mikel Antonio. I got him somewhere very late. I picked him up when he was 7.8, although he's 8.2 now. So I've got a value of 0.2. And let's see, let's talk for a bit here. Let's see if you're transferring Antonio. That is, I don't know. Let's see if you decide I'm transferring out. Who are you going to get? That is a kind of $1 million question, right? Who else is there? I mean, if you have, let's say, three or two in the bank, right? The only closest option will be Vardy, or you can get Jesus, or you can get either Alan San Maximin, or you could get, I don't know, Wilson if he's fit enough. I'm very sorry. He is fit. Or you're stuck. It's either a jump to Ronaldo, or you downgrade to Ivan Toney or somebody else, or Aubameyang and all. So you're kind of stuck, right? So it's more like Antonio is more sort of a season keeper, as you said, or is someone who you don't touch, is like, he's one of my forwards, I'm done, I'm getting another forward, somebody else for another spot. So it's very difficult, right? If there was somebody else matching up his value, right, who's looking in form, then probably it would make sense, right? So most of us already probably definitely have Ivan Toney. I'm pretty sure most of us have him at this point, and we kind of are hoping that the next 2 game weeks he manages to return. The blank against Burnley was a bit annoying, but so, it doesn't every time.
Newcastle are the 2 fixtures that he definitely has to return. If not, then when? When is he going to return?
So, yeah.
I'm hopeful.
Or we have Chris Wood, who Burnley have a, I would say, a decent spell, although they play Chelsea and Spurs in between, but there are some games they can put up a show. Or one of the Palace guys. I don't know how Neil Otson Edward will be, or maybe Zaha is. He's a good pick. Again, that's the 6.5 mark, right? So again, you have to downgrade. So it's very difficult, right, at this point. It's either you go big in the midfield and you go with cheap forwards of 6.5 to 8 with Antonio, or you have Ronaldo or somebody else and a cheap forward and then go with a decent midfield or something, or split around your funds. That's where we are stuck at this point, right? So I think transferring out Antonio again is something we are not recommending, but it's up to you what I would say.
I'm actually also having a tough time in deciding what to do with Vardy, to be honest. Because if he does do well against Leeds, then he's got Chelsea, but then his fixtures are really good. And, you know, he has Watford, Southampton, Villa, and Newcastle in the next four, from 13 to 16. And I'm really wondering whether I should take him out, since Leicester, you know, they seem to be creating chances. Even against Arsenal, they had their opportunities to score, and he was pretty active, I think.
Yeah, I think once against Arsenal, sorry to interrupt. Once I think Harvey Barnes and I think it was Lukman who came on, they looked very good.
Barnes is blacklisted, by the way. Don't mention his name.
Yeah.
Not coming anytime soon. No, actually, this season I'm not touching that guy. I swear to God, I'm not going to look at him until next season.
That is fine. I just said Leicester looked better once he came on. Like, offensively, there was a bit of a positivity,
yeah, okay,
rather than going backwards. So, but again, I think you are in a very tight spot. What I would probably say is the only upgrade for you would be Ronaldo. That's the only sensible move. Or stick with Vardy if Rashford is nailed. Going Havertz to Rashford might cover up United's fixtures and also have Vardy. So, or Son in midfield. If Spurs look well, they appoint Conte and all those things. So, I would probably keep Vardy based on the fixtures. But Leicester are very inconsistent. But Vardy this season,
yeah.
When we kind of wrote him off, right? Most of us didn't have him in our squads. We didn't predict that he was going to play that well. He went under the radar. He got those chunk of points consistently when people were saying, hey, Leicester are playing bad. It's a tough fixture. No, he managed to just score a goal from somewhere, get those points in a ticking manner. But again, right, from game week 13 onwards, these are not bad games. Watford, Southampton, Villa, Newcastle, Vardy can score against anyone. So again, that's after the international break.
No, right,
yeah, so probably
that's the reason why.
It doesn't make sense to ship him out now. So I would probably say even Leeds, right? Leeds have not looked that convincingly great.
Terrible, actually.
So definitely you can't transfer him out for game week 11. Only 12 is Chelsea. Yeah, so only against Chelsea is going to be a tough game. But
yeah.
I mean, you can't rule him out, right? Scoring just a goal can happen. It's tough. So I think probably keeping him makes sense. And getting either Son in the midfield or Rashford, if he's nailed to start, I think would be better, since United and Spurs' run of games from game week 12 gets a bit. I think for Spurs it's a bit better, but for United, they play Chelsea after that, it gets a bit better. So that's what I would probably look if I had Vardy.
Yeah, I think this season I'm trying to be a tad more reactive to players I already own. I don't want to sell them unless they actually blank a lot, and I think I'm trying to be a bit more patient and see what happens, but I'm usually just messing it up and selling the wrong players, which is pretty annoying. But I think it's good to be a bit reactive and wait until someone holds and they look good, and then, you know, your player blanks a substantial amount of times that, you know, you can't really afford to keep them in your team anymore before making a transfer. And I think that's, I'm trying to do that this season a bit more. You know, I think if Vardy blanks three times in a row, can I justify having him at 10.6 million, which I have on him, in my team, if he's not going to be my, you know, best captain option
in the coming weeks either, and if he's not as reliable. So yeah, it's a bit of a headache I will have, but you know, I think I'm in a good position right now, and I might even captain him against Leeds, to be honest, because they looked really bad against Norwich. I watched the game, at least the first half, because then I was a bit sleepy after that match. It was really, really boring. And I think Leeds did look really lost in this pitch. They couldn't really find ways to connect the whole team. I think they were really a mess. And I just don't think they're as solid as they used to be, like in the second half of the season last year. So yeah, I think they're definitely a captainable fixture for him.
Yeah. So we've covered most of our talking points with regards to Game Week 10, our possible transfer outs or the possible transfer trends we feel could happen, or something like some like Antonio Vardy and all, or not playing well, Ronaldo starting to look better. United could turn around in the next few games. Let's see. It's very early. It's just they managed to somehow get past against Spurs with a good performance. But we still have to wait and watch. The next two games will give us the proper answers. So don't make any knee-jerk moves. But with Lukaku and Werner, as you said, on the verge of joining probably after the international break, it's time for Havertz to leave. Just he has a game against, quickly if I take a look, Burnley at home. So we'll see what happens. I remember... I think one of the seasons where Chelsea had Burnley as their opening fixture. And you know these 4-4-4 tunes and all on the YouTube channel and all, they make this funny football. Yeah. And one of the seasons where Conte was the manager of Chelsea, and there was a video like when Conte said it's... The bus is one thing. I think there was one video where he said it's Burnley at home, easy peasy, lemon squeezy, and then they lost the first game, I think so, if I'm correct. So Burnley are always, you know, like how City, for City, it's Crystal Palace, the typical bogey team where they struggle somehow. There are some teams where teams typically struggle to get those points. So let's hope Havertz returns and we can happily ship him out if Lukaku and Werner are back in. So I think we've covered everything. Game Week 10, kind of given a brief review, transfer trends, ins and outs, to be precise, before I fumble more. We'll move on to Game Week 11, quickly look at our possible captaincy options, and we'll wrap this episode. So looking at the fixtures, who do you think, again, are the standout options? Always we have... Mo Salah, who's like number one irrespective of the fixture at this point, because most of us have learned the lesson not captaining him in game week 9. But Liverpool play West Ham again, probably not an easy game as people think, but anything can happen. So it's on Salah for most of us. Other than that, which other games we could possibly look at? Brentford play Norwich. Brentford have lost the last game against Burnley. Definitely their fans and Thomas Frank will be looking for reaction. Chelsea play Burnley, Kai Havertz, Mason Mount, those names turn up. And you have the Manchester Derby basically in game week 11. So that's difficult for us to predict what's going to happen. So captaincy is difficult. But again, Ronaldo, if you want to take a punt.
Ronaldo is up my punt. I think it's a really tough game. City will definitely look to react to that loss against Palace. But I think, for my team at least, I think Tony Vardy, Havertz, three options that I would really, really consider. Havertz maybe a bit less. It's a bit of a PTSD vibes there, but I wouldn't really be locked in Salah. Definitely not at my rank. I think at 400k where I am right now, I think going Salah might not really be the best option. Sorry for me. When I have some really, really good shots in my team with nice fixtures. And I think I'm leaning towards Vardy. His record against Leeds is pretty good. And I think it's some of the games where he could easily benefit. So, yeah, I really want to take a punt again this game. We can see how it goes.
Yes, I think for me, I am probably going to play safe and go with Salah. If he blanks, he blanks. That are my initial thoughts at this point. But although, as you said, I have Ivan Toney, I could possibly look to captain him. I don't have Vardy, but Vardy is definitely a great shout against Leeds. Havertz, we've learned our lesson, so I'm not going to go that side, at least for now. But on the other hand, Arsenal play Watford. So if you have somebody like Aubameyang, that's a very good shout. Smith-Rowe Saka, again, I mean, it sounds like a very Havertz kind of game week 9 vibes where you're getting. But having learnt our lesson in game week 9, we are kind of not inclined to go for the differential pick, having learnt our lesson. So we might as well just stick with Salah and move on, because playing safe is better at this point rather than going.
I think you should play safe because we got punished once. I think it happened, and that's okay. I mean, it was always a possibility. But again, I don't think it should stop us from trying to be different. But not just for the sake of it, right? I think being different should be because we really believe that someone can outscore Salah. And I genuinely believe that this is a possibility. So I'm just thinking. And I might end up captaining Salah purely because he's the best. He's the best player in the world right now. Not because of fixture, just because I trust him to do something against anyone, regardless of a position or team form. I think he's the best player in the world right now. So, you know, it depends on when you're going to gamble on a good fixture or if you want to, you know, give it a go. So
it's like, I think we'll probably end with this statement. If you're in doubt, just go with Mo. I think that's the end of story. End of story and end of this episode 15 of the Academica Vertex podcast. It's a nice time chatting with you, Chris. And that's the end of this episode. And hopefully you guys have a great game week 11. And we will possibly see you all after the international break. And hope you all have a safe time. And green arrows for everyone. Peace out.